The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thanks for listening to the Too Many Men podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second episode of the Too Many Men podcast.
Oh, and we've got a good one prepped for you guys today. This is going to be exciting.
Now, we're obviously in between our trade preview show, and at the time of recording, the NHL trade deadline is just under 24 hours away. So we're going to hold off on some trade talk until our next episode, when we'll cover everything that's gone down at the deadline, which is highly anticipated. And for this one, we're going to take into account a little bit of everything that's happened in the NHL season so far. By that, we mean we're going to analyze where teams currently are in the standings, and we are going to give you a one-sentence or couple-words statement about where each team currently is, and then we'll give you a little bit of an explanation as to why they're there and maybe something that they can do to improve their situation or what their playoff outlook may be. So we do have 32 teams to get into, so we're going to get into that quickly. We only have 25 minutes here. It's a bit of a time crunch, but we will remind you and thank you for your social media engagement. As always, you can visit our Instagram page at Too Many Men Pod and email us or DM us with any content or questions to be featured on the podcast.
Okay, so I'm actually going to start with the entire Eastern Conference as a whole. So at the top of the Eastern Conference, we've got the Carolina Hurricanes with 84 points. And when I look at their roster, I just see amazing depth from top to bottom. Nikolaj Ehlers on the third line, and this guy's like a guarantee. He's potting 20 goals each season. The only time he hasn't done that is in his rookie year and an injured season. And this team has a system. They found it and it works for them, and they're playing it to perfection. So second in the Eastern Conference, we have the Tampa Bay Lightning with 80 points. And this is just one of the best offensive lineups I've ever seen. You got Kucherov, one of the best players in the league, playing some of his best hockey. He leads the league in points with 45 since the new year, and Vasilevsky playing at a Vezina level once again. Now, moving on to number three in the Eastern Conference, we have the Buffalo Sabres with 78 points. And can I just say, I could not be happier for a franchise. They really needed this. You know, I just want to shout out all the Sabres fans real quick for sticking with this team for so long. It's looking like you're going to be breaking that playoff drought. And I just think this team, there's not any specific stats that stick out to me. I just think this is a group of guys in the locker room that are playing hockey together. Like, this is just a bunch of boys. They've got that chemistry going, and it's shown up on the ice. They're playing unreal. Since November 30th, so November 30th, they were dead last in the Atlantic. And since then, they are first in the league with a record of 26-8-2, and it's following a similar storyline of the St. Louis Blues when they went from last to winning the Stanley Cup. So I'm not trying to jinx anything, but there is that. Another city with a lot of excitement, though, is the Detroit Red Wings, who currently sit fourth in the Eastern Conference with 77 points. And why they're here, I think just Gibson has been very reliable all season, and he's shown what he's capable of when he actually has a team in front of him. No offense to the Anaheim Ducks, but they put out some pretty atrocious teams in front of him. Now, the Red Wings are interesting because they haven't even been that great this season. They've been pretty streaky all season, up and down, and they're the only playoff team right now in the Eastern Conference with a negative goal differential at minus one. However, Raymond is playing well. He's over a point per game, and DeBrincat, having a sneaky good season, currently sits 12th in league goal scoring with 31. Now we move on to fifth in the Eastern Conference, the Pittsburgh Penguins with 75 points. Now, I wish I could give a better explanation as to why they're so far up in the standings. Everybody, you know, expectations weren't too high for them. But I think really the only thing I can say is Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby is just playing at an unreal, like, level. Give this man his flowers. This guy's 38 years old and still playing at an elite level, looking like another point-per-game season. Now, moving on to our sixth place team in the Eastern Conference, your Montreal Canadiens with 75 points. And I think this, we're just witnessing the product of what has been an absolute masterclass by Kent Hughes. This is what it looks like when a team properly develops young talent instead of rushing them or giving up on them too early. And we're really seeing them reap the benefits here. Cole Caulfield, he's shown that he's an elite goal scorer and has led the Canadiens to the top of the Eastern Conference in goals for this team. And they've needed the goals, honestly, because Sam Montembeau is just not cutting it. So they are the top, one of the top goal scoring teams in the Eastern Conference right now, and they've needed it to score their way to victory. So then next up on our list, seventh in the Eastern Conference with 75 points, is the New York Islanders. And another kind of weird team, because even with Patrick Waugh, like a personality like Patrick Waugh behind the bench, this team is still just such a boring team to watch. Now, you've got to respect that they found their system and it really works out for them. Similarly to the Hurricanes, they're just sort of sticking in that playoff run. But not a single player is a point per game. But Ilya Sorokin is having a great year, and I think he's probably the reason why they find themselves in the third spot here. Now moving on to the eighth spot, Boston Bruins with 73 points. Now, I think we're all just waiting for this team to completely fall off the rails, but this season, not really looking like it. And I think the reason why is because David Pastrnak is just doing what David Pastrnak does, but in a slightly different way. You are usually used to seeing him, you know, put the puck in the net, but this year he's actually been dishing it out more. And he's currently tied eighth in the league in assists and also in points. But if the Bruins had a better supporting cast, they'd probably be in a better position. But unfortunately, the rest of their team has just been pretty mid and unimpressive so far. Morgan Geeky, however, though, he's looked pretty good, had that really hot start, and is still top 10 in goals in the league, which I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. Then moving on to the ninth spot, Blue Jackets with 70 points. And it's just really hard, I think, not to root for this team, especially with the tragic passing of Johnny Gaudreau. And I think similar to the Sabres, it's not necessarily the amazing stats that have boosted them to a pretty impressive season considering the expectations going into it. But it's just the locker room there, and they have a reason to play well. They're still playing for Johnny Gaudreau. They want to, you know, honor his memory. However, Zach Werenski is really letting up that stat sheet, and he's currently second in scoring for defensemen, and he's been the Blue Jackets' shining star there. Now, moving on to the 10th spot in the Eastern Conference, the Washington Capitals with 69 points. Now, I think the Capitals is where it kind of starts to dip a little in terms of production in the Eastern Conference, and nothing crazy about their game. Logan Thompson has played pretty well, played his way onto the Olympic team, obviously, and they still have 40-year-old Alex Ovechkin leading their team in scoring after all these years. Not having the most productive season, but for 40 years old, he's crazy, you know. But Jacob Chychrun has impressed me, who I think is a bit of a Olympic snub. He is leading the league in goals by defensemen with 22 goals, so definitely a staple on that blue line. But for me, their downfall has been their play away from home, with a less than stellar record of 12-14-4 with a minus 4 goal differential when away. So they love playing at home, but when they leave, it seems that they're not really in their comfort zone, which has been the downfall of their season. Now moving on to number 11, the Ottawa Senators with 67 points. Now, the Senators is an easy one for me. They are here because of their goaltending. It has been awful. You look at the Montreal Canadiens, I'm like, yeah, their goaltending sucks. I look at the Senators, they are dead last in the league in team save percentage with a .837 save percentage. And at the end of the day, I think Leon Draisaitl said it best. If you can't keep the puck out of your own net, you can't win games. If you're not getting saves from your goaltenders, you're not going to be competitive in this league. Moving on to number 12, the Philadelphia Flyers with also 67 points. Now, this is the first team where there's kind of a dip in that goal differential, currently on minus 11, the third worst in the conference. And now this team just, I think, lacks identity. In terms of their special team, they're close to the bottom in the league in power play percentage. They're fourth last with a 16.2% and kind of just sitting in the middle of the pack for penalty kill, sitting 15th at a 79.7%. And for a team like Philly that's not got a lot of superstars on their team, I look for their special teams to be great, and unfortunately they're not, and I think that's why they sit so low on this list. Now we move on to 13th. My team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, a little lower than I would like for them. They have 65 points on the season so far. So Austin Matthews just needs a line mate like Mitch Marner. I think this season has proven that he's not playing like himself. Now, not to make any excuses, but Toronto has been riddled with injuries all season long. They haven't really put together their entire roster in a single game all season. They've just like been hit with an injury bug game after game, and it just doesn't seem to stop. But also, what was thought of to be one of the stronger goaltending tandems in the league has just frankly been pretty disappointing this season. Joseph Woll with a minus 4.1 goal save above expected, and Anthony Stolarz with a minus 10.7 goal saved above expected. Now, moving on to the Devils, who sit 14th in the Eastern Conference with 64 points. Another team that struggled with the injury bug, including gold medal clincher Jack Hughes. Got a bit of a grudge against him right now, but that's okay. But also Jacob Markstrom, who you really look to be, he was a very solid goaltender in Calgary, hasn't worked out with the Devils so far. Currently hosting an 8.88 save percentage and a 3.05 goals against average. But honestly, I think their biggest problem is just finding better spots to shoot on the ice. You know, right now, they have an 8.5 shooting percentage and are below average in high danger chances as well as offensive zone time. Simply put, they've had the puck in their end for far too long. Now, moving on to 15th, the Florida Panthers with 63 points, another team with just a list of injuries. You know, you've got guys like Barkov, Tkachuk, and Marchand who have all missed time this season, and it's just took a toll on this team. They kind of dug a hole for them at the start of the season, especially, that is just too deep to find themselves out of. But their biggest problem, Sergei Bobrovsky. You're paying this guy, what, $10 million? And his stats are an 873 save percentage at a 3.13 goals against average, which is the worst among solidified number one goalies in the league, except for the we have an exception of Jordan Binnington, but that's more of a 1A, 1B situation. But if we're looking at like solidified number one, Sergei Bobrovsky has clearly been the worst in the league. And finally, sitting dead last in the Eastern Conference, we have the New York Rangers with 54 points. So they've kind of distanced themselves from the rest of the pack in the Eastern Conference. Everybody else is pretty close. Then you got the Rangers. But similar to the Devils, they've just struggled to score. They are tied with the Devils for dead last in the Eastern Conference with 160 goals for on the season. But what shocks me is their record at home. 7-15-6. The Rangers look at the concept of home ice advantage and they simply just laugh at it, apparently. Because this is the ninth worst home win percentage in NHL history right now, with a .250 win percentage at home. But that is our last team on the Eastern Conference. Now, obviously, we've got the other half of the league with the Western Conference. So let's hear some thoughts on that, Matt.
Absolutely. We're going to move over and start in the Central Division. Now, the Central Division is home to the NHL's top-ranked team, being the Colorado Avalanche. Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood, their goaltending, the saves they've been getting this season have been just incredible. Blackwood has a 2.22 goals against average, which is an NHL best, and Wedgwood is at 2.25, which puts him second best. They also have the second and fifth best save percentages at .916 and .914, respectively. But I'd like you to take a guess. Where do the number one ranked 91-point Colorado Avalanche rank in power play percentage?
Now, the fact that you're asking me this question makes me think they're lower on the list than people would think. But, I mean, just looking at the players on their team, I'm going to have to guess that they're still, like, top 15. So I'm going to go, like, they're like, 12th in the league.
Try 32nd. Dead last in the National Hockey League. The Colorado Avalanche have the worst power play percentage in the league, but they're outscoring it. McKinnon's got his 100 points. Makar's got 64. Natchez, what a pickup last season. He's got 72 points this season so far. Look, if you're the Colorado Avalanche, maybe you want to sort out the power play before the playoffs, especially if you're going to run into a Dallas or a Minnesota. But when you've got star players scoring and the arguably the two best goaltenders in the league this season being as a part of your tandem, I don't think you have much to worry about in Colorado. Moving on, you have the Dallas Stars, second in the Central with 85 points. They're the hottest team in hockey, a 10-game win streak dating back to before the Olympics. I believe the second highest win streak at the moment is only four, so the Stars have quite a lead in that. Ottinger and DeSmith. Casey DeSmith's had a great season. The goaltending duo in Dallas has been a strength. And when a guy like Tyler Seguin goes down for your team, you're worried about losing a vet. You're worried about losing a locker room guy. But how about opening up another $7.4 million in LTIR cap? That's allowed the Stars to make some moves. Obviously, yesterday, they acquired Tyler Myers for a second and a fourth. And just moments before we came on air, they acquired Michael Bunting for a third-round pick. And as we spoke about last week, I mocked Blake Coleman, another Dallas native, going back to the Lone Star State. So who knows if they're done? The Stars are hot out of the Olympic break. They're firing on all cylinders in the trade market. They're shining bright in their biggest week of the season. Now, for the Minnesota Wild, it's all been about Bill Guerin's wild year. Obviously, he's been wheeling and dealing in the trade market. Starting in the offseason, even in the free agency market and the contract market, Kirill Kaprizov got a huge deal in the offseason, but he is sixth in the NHL in points production with 75 points so far this year. And what goes better with a superstar forward than a superstar defenseman? So they went out and got Quinn Hughes. He's got his 61 points so far, fourth in defensemen across the NHL. Also, their goaltending. Jesper Wallstedt, someone who came up briefly in our trade projections last week, but his name seems to have quieted down in a lot of the conversations in the media. Wallstedt and Gustafsson have seven combined shutouts this season. When you can get that across your goaltending tandem and two guys with good save percentages, you know something's going right in the back end. I know they played Montreal a couple of times earlier this year. I watched both games, one of which was on Amazon Prime Monday Night Hockey, and man, do they look like a well-put-together team. So the Wild could be dangerous, and they're well within the playoff picture. Then we'll move to the Utah Mammoth, who are fourth in the Central, 68 points. It's been all about being hot or cooly for this team. Logan Cooley was out for all of January. But since he's come back, 3 points in four games, the Mammoth this season had a very hot start. They seemed to be in a really good position in the Central out of the gates, but it did seem to cool down after a while heading into the new year. But of course, yesterday they had a big swing with the Calgary Flames acquiring Mackenzie Weegar, who was one of the pieces to the original Matthew Tkachuk trade. Now he gets to be the star of his own trade, moving over to Utah in exchange for Mata, Catania, and 3 second round picks. So for the Mammoth, it's all a question of taking advantage of a weak wild card race and trying to find some of the form that they had in the fall. Then the Predators, it's not looking too good for Smashville. It's all about Trotz's turmoil and tomorrow's deadline. So Barry Trotz, obviously, when he stepped down, you knew there was going to be some major front office movement in Nashville. And the team wasn't doing that great. The strategy that they tried to employ a couple years ago, bringing in some vets that had still some good years left in their careers, but the Marchessaults and Stamkoses haven't really fully clicked as a team in Nashville. The fire sale has started down there. Blankenberg, Smith, McCarron have already been shipped out of town, with more near the top of trade boards, like a Steven Stamkos or a Ryan O'Reilly, who's actually expressed interest to stay in Nashville. But you know, players of that caliber, all of the contending teams seem to be calling into Nashville, check in on their availability. But for the Nashville Predators, it looks like a rebuild might be in the near future. And talk about a team that we didn't think would have to rebuild. We've got the Winnipeg Jets, who've just been dive bombing in production. They went from the President's Trophy last season to the draft lottery this season. Now, for the longest time this season, they really seemed like they were only being pushed by their top line. Guys like Mark Scheifele have still had great seasons, but they haven't had enough from elsewhere, especially a player like Cole Perfetti, who looked like he had his coming out last year in the first round of the playoffs. He's not been that great this season, and there have actually been points where his name has been floated in trade talks. But of course, we have to look at the Secretary of Defense, Connor Hellebuyck, a 900 save percentage, which by no means is bad. 900 is usually the threshold that separates good in the NHL from average NHL goaltending. I'm sure there are lots of goalies around the league that would love to have that 900 save percentage, but he's below 500, 14-16 record on the season. As great as he was at the Olympics, it has not gone the same way in Winnipeg. Looks like they could have an interesting road ahead of them this offseason. But another team that's not been clicking is if we go down and look at the Chicago Blackhawks, seventh with 56 points. Listen, comparison is the thief of joy. You hear that a lot growing up. The Chicago Blackhawks and all their fans should realize rebuilds take time. You can't look around the league at Montreal or San Jose and look at these teams that have found really quick success in their rebuilds. There are other teams like the Ottawa Senators that have been in this position. They got in the playoffs last year, another step back this year, and now there's some trade questions around some of their star players. Bedard was injured for a portion of the season after a great start, but they have lots of prospects that aren't far away. Rinzel, Levshinov, Frondell. Also, they did just pick up a 2027 first-round pick and Andrew Mangiapane yesterday for Dickinson and Doc from the Oilers. And also, Spencer Knight's looked pretty good at points this season. Mm-hmm. I just think patience is key in Chicago. They've got the right pieces. They're going to have another good draft year this year, given their picks and positions. Just take down the temperature and understand that these things can take time. They're the right market. It will get better in Chicago, and I think it will get better quickly. Last place, 55 points, the St. Louis Blues, a team that pushed the Winnipeg Jets to 7 last year in the first round of the playoffs. Last week, I mentioned that the Blues had second period problems. How about a minus 28 second period goal differential, which for a long time this season floated around that number and was by quite a large margin the worst in the NHL until, of course, the post-Olympics Vancouver Canucks, who we'll get to a little bit later, decided to show up. But for the Blues, it's been more than that. Jordan Binnington, another goalie, great at the Olympics, not great in the NHL this season for his standards. 3.6 goals against average and an .867 save percentage. It's just not been what we're used to seeing from Jordan Binnington. And obviously, the deadline coming up again tomorrow. Robert Thomas has been floated around in nearly every trade talk. The trade winds are certainly blowing in St. Louis. Jordan Kyrou is another name in there. Perhaps Jordan Binnington, if the right team wants a goaltender. And of course, if Colton Parayko is being shopped, even though he said no to Buffalo, if another team that wants a big defenseman comes in tomorrow, the Blues might not be opposed to it.
So it basically sounds like the St. Louis Blues are just open to anybody. They're saying, hey, look, we're not doing so hot right now, and we want to change, like, give us anything. Like, because from the sounds of it, their entire team's available. So do you think that this is a sign of complete blow-up of the team or just slight retool?
It could be, and it depends on the names that go. Obviously, we know their asking price is very high for a guy like Robert Thomas, but if you start moving those pieces out and you bring in younger guys, that signals rebuild on all fronts to me. With that being said, that'll wrap up our review of all 32 NHL teams. This has been the second episode. As you can tell, our episodes are now airing Fridays. Initially, we thought they would be Sundays, but you can find all over the Spirit Live website and our Instagram page that episodes will be released every second Friday. Thanks again for listening. Please engage with us on social media. Email us, DM us your content and questions to be featured on the podcast, and we'll see you next time.